There's a class in special topics. This is Miss Newton talking this morning to the class. We're going to talk this morning about choosing our own stories for preschoolers. The first thing you do is to start with a story you like, because you can always tell a story better that you like. And here are some suggestions for stories that we might use with preschoolers. You probably already have a list of stories that you like to use. But stories can be categorized like this: folk tales, hero adventures, jungle stories, Indian stories, pioneer stories, animal stories, which are a real favorite with preschoolers. Then there are circus stories. Stories about different seasons. Stories about famous birthdays. And special interest stories. You can turn your favorite story into a play. So how would you go about planning your play? Does anybody have any ideas? For example, where would the scene of your play be? Well, that's simple, isn't it? It would be just where it happens. If you need more than one scene, what you could do is to tell the audience what the place is through action rather than scenery. If you're very imaginative, you could probably use a big mural on the wall made out of brown paper painted by the students to supply the background for the scenery. Really, supplying a background isn't as hard as it seems. It's really quite easy. You need only the suggestion of the place that you want to create, or the background place where the story is happening. Take, for example, New York or Paris. Can you give me an idea of what would be symbolical of New York? What should be in the background if you wanted to tell a story that was happening in New York, Rachel? What's one of the biggest buildings in New York City? Could you probably suggest that that building was there, towering over the other buildings, and give the effect of a skyline. That wouldn't even be hard to do, you know? Can't you just see it, the buildings, you know, just rising here, and some buildings that are a little smaller farther away, and then the effect of the sky, and then maybe the Empire State Building here in the middle of them, and so on, and then maybe even the suggestion of an island over on the side where the Statue of Liberty is. But you don't really have to go to all that bother. I mean, you just have to, for a background, you just have to create the effect, just so that people could relate it to New York City, see, without you putting a sign up there, this is New York City, just so that they could identify with that background. And then for Paris, if you wanted to give the impression that this thing is happening, this story is happening in Paris, what kind of a background would you create or have the children create? When you think of Paris, what do you see in your mind's eye?
The Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, definitely. But you know what I also see? They always see the Eiffel Tower when they think of Paris. But when I think of Paris, I see Paris in the springtime. I see flowers and gardens. I've been to Paris. Yeah, I see sidewalk cafes. I see all these wonderful things, you know, besides the Eiffel Tower. Because, of course, the Eiffel Tower has the, you know, and then I see the Arc de Triomphe, and that isn't in the same place, of course. And then I see the broad streets, you know, and the River Seine, and so on. I see a lot of things when I see Paris. So a person, you know, it depends on their background. Now, it wouldn't mean that you'd have to go to Paris to have that kind of a background, but you could see a lot of pictures on Paris, and I have seen a lot of pictures on Paris, and create your own particular kind of background. The thing that always impressed me about Broadway plays, and I haven't seen too many of them, was the wonderful imaginative background that they use. And it's never that elaborate. Sometimes it's very simple. I remember seeing just silhouettes of cities, you know, black and white. No real color, not a whole lot of detail, just a silhouette. Now, kids could do this in a wonderful way because they wouldn't, of course, being young, they wouldn't go for detail anyway. You don't get detail until you understand what the whole picture is about, and they don't. But I think that just the idea of the outline of the city and the buildings in black and white, just a silhouette, would be enough to create the effect for kids. It could be midnight in New York. Or it could be early morning, you know. And I mean, it would just be a takeoff. The imagination really runs away with you when you think about all the things that could be done. Now, in The Little Place for Little People, the suggestion is that they make the Wall Street skyline. Now, I'm not familiar with what the Wall Street skyline is, but I've flown over New York enough. I've seen New York enough to know that New York is suggesting to me that just a lot of big buildings, you know, very, very close together, and maybe the Empire Building, Empire State Building in the background would certainly suggest to me New York. But the thing that's very significant about New York that isn't significant about Los Angeles, for example, is that there are so many, many 20 to 50 story buildings, you know, because it's so congested. The buildings are high because that's the only place they've got room, you know, to expand. So this would lend itself to. But I think that you could really, I think that with the proper build up and relating the proper idea of these places, you could get the kids to put this on mural for you, and they do a pretty good job. I think if you related it well enough, because it needn't be that detailed. Okay. One thing you do have to remember is that sometimes you have to change the time in your play. For example, you'd have to change the time from morning to night. And so here are a few ideas about that. If the play takes place, the story takes place inside, indoors, then turn the lights out. Then turn them on again. And a real cute idea that I have seen a lot of schools use when they make a change in time or season and so on, they have a little boy come out or a girl come out and carry a banner which says what day or month of the year it is. It's an announcement. A herald, it's called. A herald might carry a banner which says what day or month or year it is. Or he might carry an enormous book and turn a page with a chapter title on it. Or he might carry an enormous book and turn a page with a chapter title on it. For each change in time and place. Turn a page with a chapter title on it. For each change in time and place. Then another way to tell the audience what you want them to know is simply to have a narrator explain things. Well, we'll pick up with where we were talking about narration. Lynn had something to say.
Use narration, and if people were thinking or sitting in daydream or something like this, the narrator can give their thoughts.
Yeah, that's very good. Now, narration especially is used very often in Christmas programs, isn't it? Can you think of some other instance where narration often gives meaning and significance to what the actors are doing on stage? Rachel has something to offer along this thought and idea of narration in plays and pageants and programs.
A narration could fill in the background.
Does narration tell what's going to happen too? A sort of a predictor sometimes?
Sometimes.
Thank you, Rachel. Now we're going to talk about organizing your production. Well, there are some questions that occur about production. Now you think, let's just brainstorm here. You think about some of the things that you would want to know about when you would be organizing a production, a play. What are you going to do? What should you think about first, second, third? What's the first thing that pops into your head, Susan? Okay. Who will play the parts of characters? Sure. Okay. What's another thing that pops into your head? That's very good. Okay. Think of the whole gamut of production now and think of what else is involved. Does another question pop into your mind? How about rehearsals?
Yeah, I was going to say that if you're dealing with a play that is audible, that children will be speaking, you're going to have to deal with memorization.
Then, of course, you have the problem also on who will manage the rehearsals. How long will it take to put this story on and put the production on well so that people will want to see it? And here are some of the other questions that come into mind. Will you need to make some scenery? How about lighting? And what will your actors wear? Are they going to need makeup? What are the props that you need to furnish your stage? And what are some of the things that your actors will need to handle in the play? If you don't get it all, we will repeat it. Who will your audience be? Will they need tickets? What about a program? Who will show the audience where to sit? What will they sit on? Some of these are questions that are very important and deserve consideration when you are producing a play. Plays are very important to the young child. I can remember some beautiful plays that I was in as a young child, 5 and 6. And I think that they have a definite place in preschool education. And I think that it is of great import that we mention first the ingredients of a play. All right, now, when you think of a play, what's the first thing that you think has to go into a play?
Plot.
That's good. I have called it, in my notes, action, which is, you know, maybe synonymous. In some cases, maybe not. The characters in a play are important. The dialogue in a play is important. Action in a play or a plot, very important. Not all plays have plots. How about that? Some of them are just nice stories that carry a fresh thought and a fun kind of entertainment type of thing. But not all stories have a real down-to-earth categorical plot. And of course, besides that, there's scenery and costumes and sound effects and lights. Then we should mention there are also stage props. There are things that have to be there on the stage as part of the scene in order to carry the effect across. Okay, I can think of, when I was a child, I can think of some wonderful plays that I was in. It seemed that the people in my community, a little country community, did this for excitement. They just loved to do it. A lot of the parents in the PTA got involved in helping to put on productions for first and second and third graders. Now, most of the productions were all at the lower levels of elementary grades. They were all in the primary grades for the most part. Once in a while, the older grades would participate, but for the most part, the kids in the first, second, third, and fourth grades would participate. And there were a lot of, of these productions that could have been done by preschoolers. I remember one particular one. I don't remember the title of it, but I know that what we created on the stage was a fairyland kind of thing. And I don't remember, but I think I was a butterfly. And we had these real neat costumes. And I'm sure there wasn't any real plot to it. At least I don't remember the plot. There could have been. But I know that so many of the kids had a part. And the end thing at the school, the thing that kept us going every day, was the talk about the wonderful production we were doing. I think it must have taken us at least 3 months to put this on. And I think that we put it on in the spring of the year. But I remember that we had pretty good scenery. We had good costumes. And the people who put it on worked very hard and long. And the play didn't take all that much energy out of us kids. It was just the delight of doing something silly like this, you know. Some of the kids were caterpillars, and some of them were butterflies, and some of them were fairies, and it was this type of thing. It was just a whole lot of fun, and it did help a child to develop imagination. I mean, somebody would say, you know, oh, you're going to be a fairy in this play, and, you know, the child being at the rehearsals and everything would just naturally think, well, you know, what would a fairy do? And I'm a fairy, and I'm going to have this pretty costume, and this is a lot of fun, and, you know, there's just a whole lot in it. It can be a very educational kind of thing. It really is a wonderful experience for children. And just think, there are a lot of children in this world who never get to do anything like this. They never get this opportunity for development of imagination. Okay, here are some ideas for scenery. I think sometimes it's good for us to put these down to have to refer to, because some people are just not that imaginative when it comes to scenery. Some people will say, well, how are you going to do that? You know, what in the world should we use? And remember, we have a very tight budget to operate on. We can't afford this and we can't afford that. So there's a lot of room for imagination and resourcefulness and improvisation. Improvisation is a word that I learned when I was in nurses' training school. We're always improvising with something else. It means that you use something for the real thing. You improvise when you don't have the real thing to use. And in producing a play, there's lots of room for that. Okay, say you want a tree. Do any of you have any ideas how you could create a tree in this scene?
Use a child and put in, let him stick his hands out here and put a sign on him that says tree.
Okay, Susan, what about you? You have any ideas about how to create a tree on the platform? Against the background, you mean? Put it right up against the background. That would involve a little doing, but it looks harder than what it really is. It isn't that hard. How about you, Rachel? What do you think about? We did this in Anchorage. We had, for a lollipop tree in a kids' crusade, we brought in two real live bushes from somebody's house in their planter boxes, you know, in their big buckets. And it was real effective, you know. It really did help. But you don't always have this kind of a resource. So if you want a tree, sometimes you can take a tall lamp and put branches on it. Their kids have great imagination. Doesn't bother them. They know it's not a real tree. To them, it's a tree. Okay. Now, how about if you wanted to make you're going to do a biblical story from the scriptures? Say, for example, Daniel in the lion's den. How would you go about creating a lion's den? You could use a big cardboard box. Or you could use corrugated cardboard against the background scenery. It would be very easy to do this. All you would have to do would be to look up some stories and pictures of Daniel in the lion's den and create your own background of a lion's den. I know what I used when I was making up a flannelgraph background for a lion's den. Would just be the fact that you would create a very rough kind of cave-type looking thing for a lion's den. And this would relate. If it looks anything on the type of or the similitude of a lion's den, it would carry across the point. Okay, how about a boat? Saying you wanted to have a boat in the background. How would you go about creating a boat? Well, if you have a carpenter in the church, he could build half a boat and stick it up, you know, paste it to the background scenery. That would be really good. If you're not going to use it for the children, if it's just going to be part of the scenery, it could be done. It could also be painted on there. It could be chalked on a mural. It could be crayoned on or marked with a marking pen, marked right onto a mural just to create the effect. I've seen that done by experts on Broadway or in the Boston Theater when I was attending, when I was at Boston University. They just did a lot of things that were very little detail, but would just create the effect, just something to give you the idea that that's where it was. Okay, now if you wanted to create a river in the background, how do you think you could accomplish this? Well, you might use a blue sheet or several blue sheets. You might use blue crepe paper. I've seen that done. Crepe paper pasted against the background scenery. If you have a river in the scenery, just use blue crepe paper and then go over it with white markers to create waves or splash of a boat or something like this. Or you might use a shower curtain because you see through it. And, of course, water you can see through. What's the word that describes that? That would be transparent, wouldn't it? Okay, let's go on. Now, saying you want to make a bridge. Now, if you want to make a bridge for some preschoolers on the scene of the preschool without putting this on for a large audience, it would be very easy to do. All you have to do would be to put two chairs and a table leaf or a wooden board together to create a bridge. But if you wanted to do this for children, it would require more of an elaborate type of setting. And if you just wanted to have a bridge in the background, how would you create that? I think, when I think of a bridge, I often think of the bridge that the three Billy Goats Gruff went over. That would be kind of an elaborate thing. If you had to have that in the middle of the stage, that would require a building with steps up and steps down to it on the other side. Okay, but if you're just doing something in the classroom, you could even have a laundry basket be a bird's nest. Because in the classroom, a stage is not needed because children can really imagine. All they need in the classroom is space for action and a defined place for the audience. And sometimes plays are put on in the classroom for the benefit of the parents who come to see what's going on in the preschool setting. Okay, now just before we finish, let's just mention a few stories in the Bible that can be dramatized very quickly. The widow's mite, feeding of the 5,000, the good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the catch of fish, dedication of Jesus, Jesus teaching in the temple, crucifixion, resurrection scenes, Jesus fellowshipping with the disciples, Jesus and the children. Susan came up with that one. She liked that. Adam and Eve, Noah and the ark, little Samuel, baby Moses, the Israelites leaving Egypt, David and the giant, Samuel anoints David. David kills the lion and the bear. Joseph in the coat of many colors. David plays his harp. Little King Josiah. Then there's Jonah and the whale. King Hezekiah in God's house. And the story of Zacchaeus. We've gone from New Testament to Old Testament and back again. But these will give you some idea as to the great resource that the Bible can be when it comes to providing stories that you can use and turn into plays.
According to Dewey, the setting for the progressive movement is one of a very liberal classroom and teaching methods, as opposed to the traditional classroom. Dewey said that learning has all to do with where a child finds himself in society. But the traditional says, as a hard and fast rule, that a man has a brain, and if he puts it to use, he will learn. Control, or lack of it, was another point of discussion. Progressive-type classrooms allow a lot of interaction, self-expression, and interesting material in subjects taught. Thus, Dewey said that this, the interesting material, would provide all control needed. Dewey doesn't agree with corporal punishment, but those who are linked with the traditional do agree with it, and they believe that this is the basis for the control of classrooms, the Board of Education. The role of the teacher in both settings is extremely different. A traditional teacher will teach a group without much interaction, hardly any self-expression, and a class will be teacher-centered, with no challenge to the methods or what is taught. The other side of the teacher role is a guide. The other side of the teacher role is as a guide and a director with much freedom and no hard, fast rules for learning. This teacher will be group-centered and allowed a lot